Lord, this morning we thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the songs that we can lift our voices and worship and praise to you. Lord, we desire to glorify you with our lives and to bring you honor. So Lord, we ask that as we look into your word here this morning that you would give us guidance. Help us, Lord, to be able to honestly look at our hearts and to just evaluate where we are with you and how our walk is with you. And if there's areas that you want us to grow, would you please show us those things? Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies, for the continued working in hearts and lives. And Lord, we rejoice to hear how you work and move in people's hearts and lives. And it helps us, Lord, to turn our hearts to you. And we ask that you would continue to help us to do that, to find those realities in our own lives, and that we could be and become all that you want us to be in walking with you. So be here with us. Be with me this morning. Help me to share in a clear way the burden that you've placed on my heart, and pray that you would cause that each heart here would be edified this morning. If we need conviction, bring that to us. We just pray that you would come and meet our needs. We're looking to you for that. Bless those that couldn't be here as well, sickness and various other things. Lord, would you meet with them and encourage their hearts as well today. So we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can all be seated. All right, so I bring you greetings this morning as well in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with you. Do want to extend an invitation to the visitors as well. Thank you for being here. I think some of you came in support of the testimonies. Thank you for doing that. It's a blessing. And otherwise, just thank you for being here. I don't know where your mind goes when you see the title, Examining Ourselves. We do have communion here this evening, and that wasn't specifically my thought, and yet as I was opening my own heart to the Lord, that was some of the burden that was on my heart. So in some ways, some aspects, it may pertain more to the local congregation, and yet there is something here, I think, for all of us, and that is, I find it is necessary to pause and reflect and take a big picture look at what's happening in my life. It's easy for me, I don't know how you find it, but it's easy for me to become focused and in the moment and the daily grind, if you want to call it that, or just simply the daily cares that we get involved in. And it's easy to lose focus of the big picture. And just taking an overall look at what's happening, both for myself personally, my own walk with God, for my family, where we're going as a family, can be broader than that. Also, we have responsibility here in the church. But I guess the burden is that maybe we can just pause a little bit here this morning, wherever we find ourselves in life, and just take a look. We want to look at some scripture, see what the Bible says about. There's a word that I want to look at. The word that's interpreted examine there in 1 Corinthians is also interpreted a couple different ways throughout the Bible. So we want to look at a couple of those verses and just talk about these things. Talk about why it's important. Why should we be examining ourselves? So trust you can bear with me, and we'll try to be clear with these things. So you can turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. That's where this verse is found. And then I will also read some of this passage to you from the Amplified. It does help to explain it a bit. So let's read this verse, and then we'll talk some about some of the things that are contained here. And I don't feel like this is by any means covering the topic fully, and yet it's just some thoughts to stir our minds. So 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, after Paul had given sort of an order or a pattern for us to follow in communion, he comes back and he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But let me read that to you out of the Amplified as well. I think it's interesting some of the terminology that's used here. The Amplified says, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. But a person must prayerfully examine himself and his relationship to Christ, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without solemn reverence and heartfelt gratitude for the sacrifice of Christ eats and drinks a judgment on himself if he does not recognize the body of Christ. That careless and unworthy participant is the reason why many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we evaluated and judged ourselves honestly, recognizing our shortcomings and correcting our behavior, we would not be judged. But when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined by undergoing his correction, so that we will not be condemned to eternal punishment along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat the Lord's Supper, wait for one another and see to it that no one is left out." And that was reading down to verse 33. But anyways, there's some interesting things that are termed there and some words that are used, and it sort of maybe opens up the subject a little bit more. Let's look at what the word examine means here. Strong says it's to test, either literally or figuratively. It gives the implication to approve, and that word is used different times throughout Scripture. We'll maybe look at a few of those verses, and it is the same Greek word as examine. It also means to discern, to try, as in to test. So it means to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. As a metal, as a precious metal, there are metals that are genuine. There's precious metals, gold, silver, some of those things are genuine. And there's also some that are of less value. And so they scrutinize those things because no one wants to be cheated out of the full value in paying more than what it's worth. So anyways, that gives you an idea. So now, thinking about this to examine, why is there a need to do this? So in our natural lives, there's many exams and examinations. There's tests that we go through in our life. One of the things, I hold a CDL license, and every other year, I need to go in and be examined physically to make sure that I'm fit to be a driver. There's various qualified doctors that will examine you. They're testing things like strength in your arms, in your legs. They check your reflexes. They check your eyesight. They're just checking basic things about you to make sure that you're fit to be on the road. Now, why is that? Why don't they do that to everyone? Maybe it would be good if they would do that to more people, but I think one of the primary reasons they do that is because a commercial driver is likely going to be carrying heavy loads, and he's going to have a lot of momentum going down the road. And if you are impaired and not at a physical place where you're alert and capable of keeping that thing under control, you're more likely to cause a lot of damage. And so they're concerned about that. And so this is one of the things that they have in place to try and help to avoid some of those things. There's other types of exams that are taken. Pilots need to take exams yearly, I believe it is. They're making sure that they're fit and able to be alert and capable of taking care of flying an airplane. There's different levels, I think, according to their level of responsibility. As in a commercial pilot, I think, may have even more, which rightly so. There's medical exams that are given to try to find diseases, things like cancer and various other diseases that are much easier to treat when found sooner versus later. Schools give us exams to see the level of comprehension that a student is gaining. We take exams. When you go to get a driver's license, an examiner is responsible to make sure you have enough understanding and the ability to control that vehicle. So the goal is to identify problems or potential problems before they get out of hand. That's the goal. That's why they give exams. So here we have this scripture that instructs us to examine ourselves. How do we do that? How do we examine ourselves? And another question that comes along with that is, why is it important? And it's mentioned here. Here's just some thoughts about why it's important, and then maybe a little later on we'll look at how we do that. I might be getting ahead of myself just a little bit there. But let's consider the importance of opening our hearts to God, especially before communion, but I think even just, it's good, like I said, periodically to take some time to open our heart before God and where are we going? Take a big picture look at what's happening. So if there's sin in our life, or not a proper recognition of our neediness before God, it causes us to be weak and sickly in our walk with God. Because there's things that are happening there that's taking away from our walk with God. And I wonder sometimes, you know, if we don't keep our heart tender and open before God, it causes us to become callous towards sin, to where somehow the thing's not as bad as it should be. Maybe there's a bad habit that we have, and God might be putting his finger on it, but it's not that big of a deal. But if we keep pushing that away, eventually it's not going to be that big of a deal. And so maybe that we have a bad habit now. Let me see here, this word weak that is used here, for this cause are many weak and sickly among you. That word weak just simply means what we would assume. It means to be more feeble, to be sick, without strength, unable to achieve anything great, destitute of power among men, sluggish in doing right, and lacking in manliness and dignity. It's a pretty, not a very good description, not something that I would want to have my Christian life described as. Not something that we would want to have. So what are some things that we should be examining for? Moving on here going just a few practical things that I thought about, and this is by no means a complete list, but it's a couple things that came to my mind. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5 that if we know someone has aught against us, so in Matthew 5, we'll read just a couple verses there. In verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So why is it important that we clear that ought? Let me read to you some more verses from 1 John 3. It says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So if we can't love our brother, then it's an indication that we're not right with God. We'll keep reading a couple more verses there. He continues to explain that thought in 1 John 3, and this is verse 11. "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And because of that, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so he gets pretty practical there. We can't just say we love each other. We need to show it. And the other thing is, you know, in relationships, we tend to be able to get along for a while until we realize that someone else isn't perfect, right? And then it becomes a bit more of a challenge to love each other. But with the love of God in our hearts and a clear recognition of what God has done for us, when we're examining our hearts, that becomes a possible thing. Very possible. It's not easy, but it's possible with God. And that is also a testimony that our heart is clear before God when we can do that. See, here's what tends to happen. This is what I find. You know, sometimes we get criticized. And the person that is maybe bringing the criticism probably doesn't see the whole picture and maybe assumes some things that are incorrect. They have their perspective on it, and they might assume some things that are incorrect. And so here's the tendency. Because most of what they said wasn't true, I'm just going to throw it all away, and I'm not going to worry about it. Usually, though, there's a little shred of truth in there. There's a little something in there that is accurate. And if we can open our hearts to that and allow the other stuff to just wash off and not take it personal, but maybe there is something in there that is true, and we open our hearts to that, and God, how can I change this? How can I be different? Sometimes we assume what someone meant by what they said, and that often causes for difficulties in relationships. Here's what we tend to do. We tend to assume the worst about what somebody said, right? Somehow we struggle to give each other the benefit of the doubt. But here's something I want to challenge us with is, if we truly believe and trust each other that the other person has our best interest in mind, won't we give them the benefit of the doubt? If it seems negative, then let's go back and ask questions. I thought maybe I heard you say this. Was I misunderstanding something? Help me understand what you were trying to say. That kind of conversation with each other, rather than just assuming, oh, well, it seems like you must have something in for me. You know, isn't that assuming that that person doesn't have our best interest in mind? If you follow that thing all the way through, I would suggest that that is the case. And so if we're struggling with something that somebody said, keep that in mind, that I don't think that person is intentionally trying to hurt me. But if you're feeling hurt by it, go back and ask some questions. Try to understand it. It's amazing. I've sat in meetings where people were extremely offended at each other. And more times than not, it's a misunderstanding. They assumed what the other person was trying to say, and it wasn't that way. That wasn't what they were trying to say. So God help us with these things. Here's another thing that we can do. We can take this a step further. Have an easy-to-be-entreated attitude. And maybe even go to that person and open yourself up. Did I do something that was offensive to you? And just open ourselves. That term, easy to be entreated, James talks about that. He says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And there's some pretty big mouthfuls in there. Partiality, hypocrisy. Partiality, preferring one person more than someone else. And granted, there are closer relationships that we have with some people versus others. That's not a wrong thing. But we should never do something for someone else because we like them and we wouldn't do it to someone else. Okay, so I say that in a general sense, because there are things that we will do and share with people that we are closer to, but we should never treat someone with an attitude because we love them less. The attitude part is, I think, what's important. Hypocrisy is simply pretending to be someone you're not. I think we're familiar with some of those things. So here's another place that this word that we're looking at, examine, it's translated in this passage as prove. And I think we're going to cut some of this out just for the sake of time. But here's the verse. It's in Galatians 6, verse 4. It says, but let every man prove, and that's the word, prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There's more here that we could read. He talks about sowing and reaping in verse 8. And in verse 9, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. He's talking about steadfastness. And then he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So there's a couple things here that we looked at before that are also supported in this passage. For one thing, I want to talk about faithfulness. Actually, first of all, he talks about sowing and reaping. So let's talk about that first. So like I was saying, I find it needful to, from time to time, when we're, especially when we need to make a decision, looking long term and ask yourself these kinds of questions. So what kind of fruit is this going to produce? And is that the kind of fruit that I want to see? For yourself personally, maybe it's a decision for your family. What kind of fruit will we see out of this in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years? Maybe you need to ask some advice. Maybe you can ask someone older. How did you approach this situation? Especially if it's someone that you look at and you say, I like the direction that they're going. That's something that I want. Ask some questions. What do you need to do to accomplish that goal? Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. All right. Verse 9 here in Galatians 6, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I have a story that I want to talk about with this, but a couple thoughts. First of all, Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Have you ever wondered sometimes, you know, am I ever going to see any fruit out of this? You put a lot of effort into something. Sometimes for us with our children, they're at a young stage and it feels like we need to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And are they ever going to learn? You know, and yet if we step back and we take a look at the big picture, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, there's some areas that have improved here. And we encourage, my wife and I, we encourage each other to keep working on those things. We can't give up now. Maybe it's something in your spiritual life. Maybe it's something that you struggle with. Maybe it's a lack of faith. It could be a struggle in temptation that you struggle to overcome, and you put forth effort, and you struggle, and you struggle, and you wonder, will I ever be free of this struggle? Let me encourage you, don't faint. Endure. Put in some effort. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier. If you look into some of the history of our country, and if you look specifically at the history of soldiers, they endure a lot of hardness and hardships, things that we would very much shy away from, and yet they do that because they have a purpose and they have a cause. How much more do we have a purpose and a cause? They have an earthly cause. They have a temporal cause. We have an eternal cause. All right. Here's the illustration that I want to give you. Some of you have maybe heard of this before, but how many of you know about Chinese bamboo, the Chinese bamboo tree? Do you know anything about that? So here's the interesting thing about it. It has an extremely hard seed. And you plant the seed in the ground, and you need to tend for it and water it and keep it fertilized for around 5 years. Before you see any fruit at all. So let me read it to you. The story of the Chinese bamboo tree is true and is as follows. This particular tree has a seed that is so hard that when planted, it will do nothing for almost 5 years. Nothing happens in the first year or the second, not the third or the fourth. You have to water and care for that seed all those years, seeing no results from your labor. That is, until the fifth year. In the fifth year, the seed breaks through the soil and begins to grow into a tree. And grow it does. In fact, the Chinese bamboo tree has been recorded at growing upwards of 3 feet a day. Almost 90 feet in about a month. You can literally stand there and watch it shoot up. It has actually been timed at approximately 1 inch of growth every 40 minutes. It's incredible. Now, during that five-year period, if the person who had planted that seed had stopped watering it or taking care of the ground area, the seed would have died. If the planter had gotten tired of waiting and dug up that seed to see what was taking so long, or walked away in disgust, the seed would have died. But if we look a little deeper In addition to patience and persistence, there are other lessons to be learned from the planter. So it seems obvious that if we want to plant a Chinese bamboo tree, they wouldn't plant an apple tree, obviously. However, for many of us, when it comes to our goals, we have a tendency to either not be specific or to try to accomplish too many things at one time. If your goal is to become wealthy, that is not specific. What do you mean by wealthy? Wealthy means different things to different people, as does the goal to become successful. If you want to lose weight, that is also not specific. If you have a goal to lose 20 pounds, that is specific. But if you want to lose 20 pounds and at the same time reorganize your house, get a new job, and travel to Europe, that may be too big of a bite for most people. In reality, the chances of achieving any of these goals to the degree that would be desired is greatly diminished. Because as the old saying goes, you can do three things at the same time, but you can't do all three things well at the same time. Obviously, some of this is written from maybe a secular perspective, but I think there's some truth for us in it. Being specific about what you want to accomplish is critical, as it helps you to focus on what you need to do. Additionally, if you are trying to do a variety of things at the same time, you are limiting how much attention and time you can direct to each goal, which can lead to unnecessary mistakes, missed opportunities, and setbacks. All right, so being specific about what we want to achieve and focus on one goal at a time. That's one of the lessons we can learn. We need a plan. This one I found to be a bit interesting. He says, in addition to the bamboo seed, the planter needed to procure the appropriate tools and find the proper location for the tree. This may have been accomplished with just a simple list, but that list, no matter how small or simple, is a plan. Most people don't create a plan for their goals. Instead, they wing it, and most fail or never get their wings flying in the right direction. Depending on the complexity of your goal, you need to not only write down your specific goal, but also create a plan. And he references here that there are many studies that have been done that prove the power of writing down goals and a plan. So, maybe it's just a simple list, maybe it's a detailed plan, but write down your specific goal and have a plan. Negativity. Here's something we face, and we talked about it in the area of criticism. He says, while dealing with negativity is a crucial component of patience and persistence, what is not alluded to here in this story is dealing with the negativity of others while you strive to achieve your goal. Now, he's assuming some of these things here, but I think it is a realistic assumption. He says he has no idea if the planter of the bamboo seed had to deal with friends or family chastising them for watering a piece of dirt for 4 years with no results. But I can tell you that as you work on your goal, there will be those who won't be pulling for you. And it is sad but true. Sometimes the people that don't cheer us on are closest to us, like family or friends or business associates. In some cases, it can be helpful to let people know what you're trying to accomplish. Sometimes it's wise to not tell. However, while some people may be positive, there will be those who are not. Be aware that, or have a goal, and don't allow those negative things to stop you from achieving that goal. Continue to move forward. If there's truth in the criticism, receive it. If not, proceed. All right. Let's look at a couple more places that these verses are used. I have several more verses here where this word examine is used. Ephesians 5 verse 10, let me read it to you, says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And so in the things that we are examining and approving, this is to the Lord. This is not what appears good to me, but to the Lord. And according to the word of God and its foundation. Philippians 1 verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, no hypocrisy there, and without offense, till the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so the goal here in sharing this morning is simply for us to examine our lives and to evaluate before God where we're at with Him. You know, there's this thing that businesses do, it's called taking inventory. And it happens at different times of the year, but we take inventory, we take account, and we take stock of what we have. It's for tax purposes, but I think it's good for us to take inventory of our hearts, to see what's in there. What do we have? What do we need? Where are we at in our walk with God? Here's a couple questions to ask ourselves. Is all known sin cleared? Is there any sin that you know of in your life that you have not taken care of? It was mentioned this morning in different of the testimonies about they knew they were hanging on to something. You know, usually we know. You don't have to, sometimes with being sensitive, I face some of this as a young person, we can wonder, is there something that, you know, I'm not clear with God? And some of those things can have to do with a lack of faith. But usually we know. If we ask God with a sincere heart, God, is there anything in my life that needs to be taken care of? God will show that to us. And here's the next part. Am I walking in faith toward God and obedience to the Bible in all areas? And right along with that, is there anything that I'm not willing to give up to God? That we know God is asking of us to give it up. But what about faith toward God? What about obedience toward the Bible? Here's another one. Is there any person that I have difficulty releasing from a hurt or offense that was caused? And I think that can be a real thing for us. But if we find ourselves in a place where it's difficult to release someone, I would suggest that you're probably not quite right with God in that. And I would encourage you, do something about that. Find a place of rest with that. Find a place where you can let that thing go. Because it's not God's will for us to live in that. And it will hinder us in our walk with God. It will. So again, coming back to the goal is, and like I read here in the story, there was a tremendous amount of perseverance. You know, when a person decides to grow that bamboo, there's a tremendous amount of faith and perseverance that they have in that. It's with seeing no results. And I'm not here to suggest that we see no results, and yet there are times in our lives when we wonder, you know, where are the results? And we like to see those things, and yet let's look eternal. We have an eternal focus. We know that if we don't see these things here, and yet we're doing what is right and following God, we will have a reward. We have a promise for that. So I trust that some of these things can be an encouragement to us, and also I want to encourage us to examine our hearts. I know some of you do really well with that, and yet I find myself challenged in that, and so it's as much for me as it is for anyone else. But I just was just thinking in light of communion this evening, and just simply, like I said, I find it so necessary and helpful. I think this year for me has probably been more of a year of reflection than many years. And just evaluating where I'm at, where are we at as a family, and wanting to continue to move forward. So God's blessings to all of you.